This is AM 990 KWAM. And now, here's the Mary Beth Conley Show, a radio program that features discussions to help you expand your horizons, believe in your dreams, and live life large. Now, here's your host, Mary Beth Conley.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Million Dollar Monday on the Mary Beth Conley Show. Million Dollar Monday brought to you by Radian Partners at RadianPartners.net. And, you know, this may be the first time in the modern work world where you could have as many as four generations all working in the same office. And I know back in the day when we used to have apprentice situations and maybe, you know, mostly agriculture, we had this perhaps. But we still, even then, didn't have four generations, typically. But now, in an office, you could have four generations. Because, let's face it, the baby boomers just either will not or cannot get off the stage. And so they're there, probably most of them in the management positions. And we have to deal with X and Y and Generation G and the millennials and all these others. I made up Generation G. Anyway, how do you do it effectively without driving yourself and your fellow employees or colleagues crazy? Well, that's going to take a different kind of intelligence. You know, we want to focus on IQ sometimes, but it's another kind of intelligence that'll really help you succeed in more ways than one. We'll be right back. Million Dollar Monday on the Mary Beth Conley Show, AM 990 and KWAM990.com.
The opinions voiced in this program are not intended to give any specific financial, tax, or insurance advice or recommendations, as individual situations vary. For any specific advice, contact your attorney, accountant, or financial advisor prior to investing. Investing is subject to risk, including loss of principal. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure profit nor protect against loss. Securities, insurance, and advisory services offered through FSC Securities, member FINRA/SIPC. Radian Partners is not affiliated with FSC Securities or registered as a broker-dealer. Radian Partners is located at 6060 Poplar Avenue, Memphis, Tennessee. The phone number is 901-202-3909. Any guest speakers that may participate in the show are not affiliated with Radian Partners, nor affiliated with FSC Securities.
There's something we all need for our lives to make sense. It's called emotional intelligence. You might hear it called EI or EQ. What it means is emotional literacy for me and for you.
And welcome to Million Dollar Monday, brought to you by Radian Partners at RadianPartners.net. Larry Tolbert, where did you find that song? Did you write it over the weekend?
Just tell me I didn't nail it with that one.
You got it, Larry.
Where did you find that? Who would ever think? Was that like a...
That came from the secret place of Larry's music.
Oh, please. He just doesn't want to admit it. He Googled emotional intelligence.
It came up. And when you Google songs about emotional intelligence, one actually came up. I was floored.
And then you listen to it, and it's like, wow, it really is about emotional intelligence.
It really is, yeah. It's by the Emotional Intelligence Institute.
Well, I'll be dang. They're also songwriters.
Yes.
So Judy Bell is an emotional intelligence expert. Judy, what is emotional intelligence?
Emotional intelligence is the ability to deal with others effectively.
Okay.
The first tenet, though, is understanding self.
Okay.
Because you can't go any further until you understand self.
And true or not, it is more important than IQ. If you have to, and I know we need it all, but it's more important if you're talking about getting success.
That is true. IQ is always important. That's the many times it's the hard skills that we bring not only to our job, but to our lives in general. But the EQ is the differentiator.
Okay.
And it's what sets us apart when all other things are equal.
When did it become a thing that we started paying attention to? You consult and with your clients. Do they get it instantly? Is it something that they have heard of for a while?
It was first coined in the 80s, in the early 80s. And, you know, it took a while. There are some people that are still hesitant.
Mm-hmm. Don't really know what it is.
Haven't heard of it. Right. It's that touchy-feely, and it's not. It is a true life success indicator. And it's the ability to understand others and to get along well with others.
And why is it so important now? We talked at the intro, during the break, I had said initially that you could have four generations in the workplace. Is that really true, or are we really talking baby boomers, Gen X, and millennials?
You were correct. There are four. The first group are the Depression era, or what we call now the traditionals.
Okay, so the people who are maybe mid-60s and a little
and
older.
And, you know, a lot of people are postponing retirement, not only for monetary reasons, but because they want to stay engaged.
Yeah.
For just overall mental and physical health.
Yeah, it's probably the traditionals are probably the first generation that really is actively staying engaged. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. And a lot of times they're the CEOs of those large companies.
Larry, you're nodding over there.
Yes. I mean, we still see people engaged in their 70s and 80s. And it's maybe not so much the active daily CEO, it's the active owner of the companies that are doing the employing. So they may have stepped aside to let somebody do the day-to-day to wear the CEO or COO title.
Right.
But make no mistake about it. They're still very actively engaged. They built it, and they don't want to turn it loose.
Or maybe they're the chairman of the board, you know, if a company has a board.
Or investors.
Yes. Or investors. They may be stockholders with a voice.
And they move into a consulting role as well. And, you know, just last week there was an article. Well, you know what? There was one this morning in the Commercial Appeal about a gentleman that had a clothing store. And he just passed away, I think maybe end of last week, but he was in his 90s and he was still contributing. And that really does, when you're engaged in something beyond just taking your medicine and watching television.
Watching The Price is Right.
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 Right. And then you stay, you just are healthier.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you're engaged in life.
But what that means is that we have the traditionalists, and I can only guess what their characteristics are since they're called the traditionalists, engaging potentially with the 20-something millennials. I can see the clash of the titans right there.
Right.
Never mind the two generations in between.
A coaching friend of mine invited me sometime in the fall to go see The Intern with her.
Oh, yeah.
And that movie was great. And a lot of that was about, you know, the young generation and this older gentleman that had retired and went back. And he taught her along the way. He was the intern.
Yeah.
And he taught her along the way how to be wise, because we can be smart, but emotional intelligence is about being wise, and you only get wisdom with experience. So that movie was incredible. In fact, I've got chill bumps just talking about it, because I was mesmerized.
De Niro and Anne Hathaway.
That's it.
Yes.
Anne Hathaway gives you chill bumps, doesn't she?
She does. She's very cute. But, you know, what's so funny about the traditionalist generation in the workforce is they're now getting to see their spoiled grandchild or great-grandchild come into the workforce. And I would think that's a whole different dynamic.
It is.
Because you've spoiled them rotten, and now here they come
adored.
To the workforce.
They've been adored.
Well, and so thus they think they know everything. Is that a characteristic?
Oh, they do know everything.
Oh, okay.
Just ask them. They are the most highly educated generation that we have, and it's not just a college degree. It's not just the undergrad. It's the MBA or the master's.
Okay. They've had Google all their life.
Oh, my gosh. And they've had instant gratification from the day they were born.
Plus, they've been told, you're awesome.
You're awesome.
Even
you
if
get
they
a
just
trophy.
Show up for the team.
That's
okay.
Right. You get everyone gets a trophy. And you know, I've always focused because, you know, I was an HR executive and now do HR consulting and coaching. I do a lot of executive coaching and some life coaching. And I always thought of the millennials as kids and employees,
Yeah.
And now they're the consumer. And in a few more years, they will be the major consumer. So business owners and, you know, companies that are inventing and creating, this is the new, will be the new customer.
So what do we need to know? Well, first of all, what are, I could see, am I right? The traditionalists and the millennials working together. Because right now, the traditionalists, if they're the ones who are calling the shots, not the millennials, what do they need to know about how to deal with the millennials? Who, again, think they know everything, have been told they're awesome their whole lives, really do have technology down because they've never not had a computer.
Right, right. And they expect great things, even though they are underemployed in the traditional sense because the economy has not been healthy.
The types of jobs, yeah, even though we were increasing jobs, the types of jobs we're increasing are not.
Right.
Really?
They are, and that's why they're also staying in school longer for that reason.
Okay.
They've got huge student loan debt, but they still remain positive that everything's going to be okay. And maybe we taught them that too in all
so
of
there's
our
an advantage
adoration.
To giving everybody a trophy.
Right, right.
I knew we'd find one if we looked long enough.
Millennials in 2015, there were 83.1 million millennials.
Is that bigger? That's bigger than the baby boomer.
It is. It's the second boomer generation.
Okay.
And weren't we, as boomers, weren't we about 62 to 64
yes,
million?
Yes. And the millennials,
so I guess that makes sense that our children would be bigger in size because we're having more than
right.
one of them.
And we waited longer and, you know, and they are waiting even longer than that.
Okay.
But millennials by the year 2017 will be spending over $200 billion a year
Ow.
As a consumer. And they are expected to spend over $10 trillion in their lifetimes.
Wow.
So
that ought to help the economy.
I hope so. I hope there's an economy left.
So we need to know not just how to deal with them in the workplace, but we need to know how to...
We've got
to
be prepared.
And how to attract them as a customer. Is EQ needed there as well?
It is. It is. And one thing that when I did a little research on this, you know, as the millennial generation, every article, not every article, but most every article said that that is the only skill they're missing is the social skill, the social intelligence, the emotional intelligence.
Because, that millennials are missing?
Yes.
Really?
They're missing that. They've got 4 out of the 5 critical workforce skills. But the EQ, they've had instant gratification. It's the me generation.
So they've
Where's
never
my
had
trophy?
To, they've never had to think about how the other person feels?
No. But the most encouraging 2 pieces of data that I ran across was they expect, their expectations are out there, right. and they expect their boss to be their coach, which is a good thing.
Why is that a good thing?
Because some people don't want to learn.
Oh.
And a coach, a good leader is not just a boss that, you know, that says you can't do this and you can do that. But a coach pulls you along. They inspire you.
So they are willing,
they
even
are
though they
willing.
Do think they know everything, they are willing to, because someone who is willing to be coached, it would seem to me, would have to first accept that they don't know everything.
Well, then that's true, but they want success. They expect success so greatly that they want their bosses to pull them along and
okay.
teach them like
okay.
a parent would.
Okay, a mentor, okay.
And then they want a coach in the HR arena.
Okay.
So both of those pieces of information are encouraging to me. Now, my own self, I love to work with younger generations because we share wisdom. You know, we share knowledge.
Yeah.
And they help me with my technological challenges. and then I give them some life lessons along the way.
So let me ask you this, because we've been kind of knocking on the millennials here for a minute. Who among the older generations who might be the bosses are willing to coach and are the best coaches and mentors? Because some would say baby boomers are kind of self-involved, too, honestly.
Well, they were such a large generation, the largest before the millennials, that there's been a good leadership bunch to come out of the millennial generation because there were so many to choose from.
You mean out of the baby boomer generation?
Yes, I'm sorry, out of the baby boomer.
Okay.
Think of where the baby boomers are. There were two waves, right? There was the baby boom and the echo boom.
Yeah.
Right? So if a traditional still is engaged, that's the best place to get wisdom.
The intern.
The intern. And that's what the intern in the movie picked up on, I think. So it's the traditional that's the best place to get the wisdom because they have the place and the time and the mentality to do that.
And are they our traditionalist characteristic? Would one of their characteristics be an interest in coaching, a willingness to coach typically?
Yes, it's that give back.
They're the give back place, I think, right, JB?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you're making the point. It's not really about which generation you are. It's at the place in life, your stage in life. Even the most self-centered of us, once we get to a certain stage in life, will want to reach down.
I think what the millennials are doing is forcing baby boomers to go back to the traditional family mode, which is when you had grandparents in the house, remember those? And there were three generations living in one house.
Right.
Who was working? The parents.
The parents.
Who didn't
right.
have time to give wisdom and sit down and teach?
True.
Grandma and grandpa did.
You're right.
So they're probably looking for a very traditional family setting in the workplace.
And they are very much against the bureaucracy. And, you know, the baby boomers grew up with that, and the traditionalist as well.
In the bureaucracy in the workplace.
That's
that
right.
You have
and
the CEO,
even in the
then
political,
you have the,
right. No, and you
millennials don't,
go, don't
like that.
No, not at all.
Tenure.
They want a more engaging.
So the concept of tenure is gone.
That is correct.
Don't you wish that we didn't have to deal with tenure when we were coming along?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Because we were bucking the system, too. And we were told, sit down, it'll come to you in your time.
But that begs the question, and we'll go to break and then answer it. Does that create a little friction? Because I'm sure there are some in the baby boomer and traditional generation who want to say to the millennials, just what you said, sit down, it'll be your time in a minute. I had to wait, you're going to have to wait. So we'll be right back. More on EQ and its importance in the workplace, particularly now, because the workplace has so many different styles, thanks to the older folks really not getting out of the way and retiring the way it used to be, which is a good thing. But it can create complication. JudyBellConsulting.com is where to find Judy. She mentors and coaches on this very thing. She is an expert in emotional intelligence, the EQ, emotional quotient, right? Is that
right.
What that stands for? And Larry, you know what? He has it. So that's why he's here, because he has it. He has whatever we're talking about on Million Dollar Monday. He is the
he's the man.
He's either the example of the one who needs it or has it.
I think I'm more on the needs side. Don't be bragging on me.
Hilarious.
I drag kicking and screaming into maturity.
And he drags kicking and screaming into me bragging on him, too. I mean, I swear, I have never seen somebody so modest. He's founded Radian Partners at RadianPartners.net. Here in Memphis by phone, 901-202-39. 909, named by Forbes magazine one of the top financial advisory firms in the Southeast. So he is definitely doing something right. We'll be right back on Million Dollar Monday. A little Aerosmith, Sweet Emotions, because we're talking about emotional intelligence with a particular eye on the workplace now. Because if you think about it, there could be as many as four generations working together. The traditionalists, which are a little older than the baby boomers, and the baby boomers, then the Gen X, we haven't figured them out. We haven't talked about them yet. We'll bring them in. And then the millennials. So here, as both in the workplace and as consumers, millennials are close to their parents. They're optimistic, even though we're at a time where they certainly are underemployed, typically, because the jobs that we have where we have job growth are not particularly career jobs. They'll jump from job. They're much more comfortable moving from job to job. Is that correct, Judy Bell?
That is correct.
Okay, Judy is a human resources. You don't like that term, but you're a consultant.
Yes.
In the area of making sure of coach, you teach. What would you call human resources as opposed to?
I like human asset, human capital.
You want companies to treat their workers like assets.
That's correct.
Organization.
That's correct.
One way they do that is to hire Judy to do coaching, right?
Absolutely.
Right. So judybellconsulting.com is her website. And then, of course, Larry is founder of Radian Partners or radianpartners.net. We haven't talked about Gen X. Where are they in the workplace? Are they the middle managers? Are they? Because we're talking about people who like top out 55 now. They're,
right.
They're not young spring chickens anymore.
And I remember when they were, you know, coming of age in the workforce and, you know, we had training around how to deal with the Generation X, and now they're just like the boomers. I mean, they and the thing is with emotional intelligence, it increases with each decade.
What do you mean? Oh, you get more of it?
Yes,
oh.
Wisdom. It's the life wisdom. So
okay,
and then you hit, you know, the 80s and the lady with the purple hair and then you lose your impulse control button again. And I guess if you live to be that age,
oh my
it's
God,
okay.
I'm 85.
I know. Watch out.
If loss of impulse control is age, I'm 85 or 100.
Yeah. So, but no, they're working right alongside. They just acclimated, with
the baby
everyone
baby.
Else.
So they're
the
bosses.
That's right.
Okay, so how do we were talking earlier about how millennials don't want to work necessarily with the bureaucracy of the workplace that baby boomers grew up with, that Gen Xers had to deal with, in that you go to your manager who then takes it up, so you what do you call that, chain of command kind
right.
of thing, and where you can't shoot to the top. So Larry made the point that we, as these eager beaver baby boomers, were told, sit down, shut up, and wait your turn.
Right. Wait for somebody
listen
to retire
learn,
or
right.
pass away.
Are we expecting the same thing of millennials? And how do you work through that inevitable friction?
Well, they're not expecting the same, and they're coming in great numbers.
That's because they all got the trophy, damn
they
it.
They did
That's
get
right.
the trophy.
But we didn't either, though.
What do you mean? We didn't wait?
When I got my first job, I thought I had the world by the tail.
Yeah.
And I was just going to tell all these old crotchety people how it was really done.
Well, how'd that go for you?
It didn't. I was told to sit down and wait my turn.
Well, see, so you did sit down, though, then, right? After being told, how many times did you have to be told?
A lot. And I'm still told that. Because there are people that, you know, one thing I learned from Judy a long time ago is there are more people to tell you no than to tell you yes.
Okay.
I didn't tell you no, though, in the workforce.
You never did. No, you, and, you know, for 30 years, Judy has been a great coach for me.
Did you all meet in a traditional workplace when you were head of HR?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
I was the young whippersnapper in the investment division, and she was head of HR.
And he got called into your office a lot.
Not really, but when I would have mandatory regulatory training, I would go through the list, the sign-in list, because you have to record it if the government wants you training on it. And there would be Donald Duck, you know, signature, or Mickey Mouse right in the middle of my training logs. And I'm thinking, okay, that's Larry Tolbert. So, but I thought it was funny.
But baby boomers, then, if you use that as an example, baby boomers are really no different than millennials in that respect.
Yeah.
They're all coming out of the gate. They're all like racehorses. They've all been waiting for this opportunity all their life. So they're coming out optimistic, anxious, and ready to go.
And let's face it, baby boomers thought we were kind of special, too.
Well, we were. Our parents thought we were special, not quite as special as the millennials,
right.
But our parents were generally very financially secure.
Yeah.
Coming out of World War II, and which caused the boomers.
Right.
We still are pretty special.
We still are.
Which is one reason why we won't get off the stage.
That's exactly right. We won't retire because we think there's nobody capable to follow us. I hear that every day. I would, Larry, I would love to retire, but my kids can't handle it. How long have your big kids been working with you? 15, 20 years. We still think
we're
special.
Well, we don't hold them accountable, though, either. And that's another problem is accountability.
With baby boomers? Not holding
anyone accountable. That's the biggest problem in the workforce is the lack of accountability. We have expectations for any generation, but the path of least resistance is to moan and groan.
And do it yourself.
So, you know, that's one thing that all leaders need to be sure that they're handling. But the millennials do not like bureaucracy. They don't like the hierarchy, and they do not like unequal distributions of power and authority.
Bernie Sanders'
rise
in the polls.
That's exactly right.
Okay, so how do we handle that if we're the boss?
Well, I reached out to Harvey Duschendorch the last time I was on your show.
Yeah.
Harvey's a good friend of mine. He wrote The Other Kind of Smart.
Yep.
And I reached out to him a couple of weeks ago, and I said, Harvey, what can you tell me about the millennials and their lack of EQ? And so he sent me one of his articles, and there were a few key points. He said, accept and embrace the differences in the different generations.
Okay.
And I think we can do that. That's what I do with the younger folks in the office. You know, I work with a lot with Austin Baker.
Yes.
At HRO Partners.
And is he a millennial?
Yes, okay. He is. And his staff mostly are millennials. And so we do that give and take. I hope I give some wisdom, and they teach me when I get stuck on the technology.
And to loosen up, too, is that another?
So
if we have a bunch of millennials in our office, we need to stop worrying about what so much? Dress code? What are the bureaucratic
all the rules.
Kinds of things? All the rules. So as
long
as you get it done, it's okay. You don't necessarily, you may take a 2-hour lunch as long as you're getting your work done. So we need to be a little bit more flexible with that kind of
thing? A little bit more flexible. Some want to work from home more. They want family balance. They saw lack of balance in their homes.
Yep.
They saw, you know, health problems with their parents.
Okay. So as an employer, we ought to be more willing to go there.
At least decide which hills we're going to die on.
Okay.
You know, there are some that we cannot bend, and there are some that need to be rethunked.
Mm-hmm. Let's use Larry as an example. He runs a thriving financial advisory firm. With how many employees? Well, a lot of your employees, they're employees. They're not just independent contractors, but they work sort of as independent contractors.
Well, I have
right?
both, actually. We have 1099s and W-2s.
Okay. So any millennials in that group?
No.
Okay. By design.
Well.
How might a firm, because there is a lot of rules in your industry.
More than you can imagine.
Yeah, that you couldn't necessarily bend.
We can't bend any of them.
But you could bend office hours, right?
We can bend office hours. We can, to some degree. It's a great industry if you want to have a lifestyle career.
Because you could work.
Because all we need is a phone and a tablet. We're very much internet-based. So clients, I don't think, demand us to be in an office. What they demand is our attention and our service.
Okay.
They don't care where we're doing that or giving that from.
So if Larry had some millennials working with him, that would be something, that would be the hill he wouldn't need to die on.
Right.
You have to show up at the office in a tie.
But to use our industry, for a generation that hates rules, that's why our industry is dying, because we can't get the millennials interested in our industry.
Oh.
We can't.
It's a big ship to turn.
It is a huge ship to jump on because it's a high barrier to entry. You have to have lots of education. You have to have lots of licensing. And
attention to detail.
Attention
to detail.
And they
don't have that.
Is that because of?
That's because of the
telephone.
All of the tablets and they're socially connected. They have interruptions constantly.
Gotcha.
Yes, no attention span.
And constant, like we had, where our generation had 3 channels on the TV, and one of which probably didn't work too well. They had 900 channels. They had the internet. They have their phone. They have, so, okay.
And I don't know about you, but my father would not allow us to do homework in the room where the TV was on.
Right.
Or with a radio.
Yeah, mine either. Yep.
And I don't know that my industry, here again, about the attention to detail, is not, we're not getting millennials. It's our clients will not do business with a millennial.
There's a generational divide. They don't trust them. They don't believe that they know anything.
They don't believe that they have the wisdom, the experience, or the attention to detail to focus on what they're doing.
All of which seems to be true, frankly, from what we've been saying.
Right.
Yeah, it is. And Harvey gave me some good advice. He said, we need to learn how to suspend or avoid judgment.
Okay.
You know, be open-minded. Strive to understand. And, of course, that's Covey's, you know, number five.
Stephen Covey.
Seek first to understand.
That's our own EQ.
Yes,
right?
That's our own, is to meet them where they are.
Okay.
You know, and that's not always easy to do, but if we put that as a focus, you know, it's more likely to happen. And reach beyond your own age group. You know, have people that you socialize with, work with, eat lunch with, that are of a different generation, so that we can do that, have that give and take. In a real way, and have those, you know, the meaningful dialogue.
Okay, when we come back, let's flip the switch. Let's say the millennial is the boss.
You.
And you're the Robert De Niro to Anne Hathaway. We'll be right back. More with Judy Bell, an expert in EQ, on how we manage the workplace with these four generations in place. Larry Tolbert is founder of Radian Partners at radianpartners.net.
Could you
actively looking for millennials to apply? 901-202-3909. You'd love Larry, really. He's mentally a millennial, wouldn't you agree? He got all the trophies, too. Radian Partners, named by Forbes magazine one of the top financial advisory firms in the Southeast. JudyBellConsulting.com. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Mary Beth Conley Show. It's Million Dollar Monday on AM 990 and KWAM990.com.
But if you feel like loving me, then you got the notion. I said the mad emotion.
Smokey. I bet you Smokey had a Memphis connection. Anybody know?
I don't know that for sure.
I don't either.
But if you listen to his music, it definitely sounds like Stax.
It has that feel, yeah. I'll have to double check.
Motown?
Oh, it's Motown? Yeah. Okay.
Detroit.
All right. So they were influenced by Memphis. We're going to say that, even though really it was probably the other way around. But okay, never mind. Again, I should know by now not to try to extend any kind of musical theory whatsoever.
I'm beginning to think, JB, that Mary Beth is a millennial. You know, that inattention to detail. Jumping around from topic to topic.
Well, maybe she just has too many devices.
Yeah. With her tablet and her two phones over there.
What I am is a baby boomer with ADD. There you go. All right, we've got Larry Tolbert, founder of Radian Partners at radianpartners.net. Of course, my partner here on Million Dollar Monday. And we have Judy Bell, judybellconsulting.com. Judy is an expert in many things. I call her an emotional quotient expert, EQ expert, but really she's a coach. You teach people how to really open themselves to this EQ, which is so important in the workplace.
It is.
Much
it's being
more
self-aware.
Yeah.
And then others aware.
So what happens when your boss is the millennial and you're maybe a baby boomer? How is that going to work?
I would imagine that's going to be difficult. I don't think that I personally could work for
really?
A millennial, not in the traditional sense.
What do you mean? Like as an employee. You work with
right.
them all the time as an independent, like a consultant.
Yes,
coach.
Yes. And I work with Austin, and he is a millennial.
Austin Baker. But you
and
partner with him.
I do. And okay, he's not bossy. But if I had a true manager, I don't think I could do it. I like the collaboration that the millennials bring.
Okay.
And I'm a collaborator. So in
so
that
sense.
So you
might like that if you had a manager who was a millennial, because they're going to be looking for collaboration. They're not going to have a whole lot of rules as long as you get the work done. See, I would love that.
Right.
I could work with that. I work with that now, actually, even though none of my bosses are millennials. They just know I won't work for them if they don't give me that.
you want the autonomy.
Totally. Yeah. Maybe I am a millennial. Larry, what about you, if you had a millennial as a boss?
I don't know that I could work for one, but I love having them around.
Right.
All that energy and that optimism is awesome.
And they are smart. They're not always wise, but they're very smart.
And
well, you said the most highly educated generation, right?
Right.
Larry. And because they haven't been put in a system, they think differently than we do.
So they think outside the box?
They're not in the box.
They don't even see a box.
Which is a model I've adopted for myself, because I hear people say, well, you know, think out of the box. I'm like, dude, I'm not in the box. Because in order to think out of it, that says you have to be in one.
Really? Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm just not in the box. And so I enjoy collaborating with people that think that way.
But and yet you still don't have any in your office. It's just hard. Is it?
There is nothing for a millennial to do in my office. They would starve to death.
Because they have to go eat. They'll eat what they kill. And to be a financial advisor, you have to have people. What about other millennials? Wouldn't they trust the millennials with their money?
Have no, remember, money is the medium in which I deal. So they don't have any money yet. They're trust fund babies, some of them, but that's still not money. They haven't come into it.
Gotcha.
And so the traditionals and the baby boomers have that transitional money. And baby boomers want to talk to a boomer. They want a boomer to do the assisting of the advisor with that. It's just like doctors.
Makes sense.
They want their doctor to be a boomer, and they want their nurses to be boomers.
Would a baby boomer even trust a Gen X, a younger Gen X, like a 30-something?
Now, we've got some of those that are coming along.
Yes.
And they are coming around to that generation, but it's tough for them.
And you have to wear a tie.
I was told, because today I'm not in a tie.
Yeah.
But I've had clients tell me, where's your tie?
Really?
Yes.
Even the older ones, the traditional.
There's that expectation, you know,
the expectation
that you're going to be buttoned up.
You must dress like we expect, too.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you know what I found interesting is the sociologist and the psychologist have noted an increase in narcissism in the millennial generation. And this has been proven by test scores, assessments, narcissism and selfishness on psychological tests and assessments.
Okay, what caused that? Are we back to that
the
trophy
mom,
thing?
Uh-huh, the mom and the dad
saying
and the adoring
that you're
parents.
Wonderful.
Yes. And, you know, the sky's the limit, and what do you want? You know, you can have anything you want.
So I wonder how they will parent.
They're putting it off, in some cases, completely suspending it.
Maybe they're completely suspending it or putting it off because they instinctively know that they don't want to parent that way, but it's the only way they... No.
It forces them to pay attention to somebody other than themselves. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
So you think they're... I'm trying to give out a good reason why they're putting it off.
Well, and there are some good reasons. They're living at home longer. They're postponing home ownership longer. They're marrying much later.
Well, and that's the rise of Uber and some of these rental where they don't want to own anything, so they don't even own cars. All right, we'll be right back. JudyBellConsulting.com. How to deal with the millennials. We seem to keep coming back to them. But really, it's four generations in the workplace, how you develop EQ. Some final thoughts in just a moment. You're listening to Million Dollar Monday, brought to you by Radiant Partners at RadiantPartners.net. Wow, Art's singing along to the Rolling Stones, and that I can honestly say is a song I've never heard. Emotional Rescue, ever. I know, I'm just shocked. It's not widely played, he says. All right, Judy Bell, JudyBellConsulting.com. She's a coach, she's a mentor, she's a life coach, an executive coach, and she is an expert in emotional quotient EQ. And Larry Tolbert, founder of Radiant Partners, named by Forbes magazine one of the top financial advisory firms in the Southeast, RadiantPartners.net. Final thoughts, Judy, on how to blend. It's the ultimate blended family, the four generations in a workplace. What's the number one takeaway people should have to get along better and to get more done?
Understanding, having that other awareness, understanding the place where another person comes from.
So what's the question you ask in that meeting? You're in a brainstorming meeting and somebody says something that you just really want to go no and discount the idea. What's the number? What's the question you should ask instead?
Tell me more about that. How would you arrange that? How would you make it happen? How would you do it differently?
And even if you don't come to an agreement, you've made them feel heard. And
that's correct.
Larry, final thoughts?
I would agree. Seek first to understand. Meet them where they are.
There we go. We go back to Stephen Covey. Good advice. Thank you so much. Always good to see you.
It's always good to be here.
And Larry, always good to see you, of course.
See you next time.
All right. And we'll see you tomorrow on the Mary Beth Conley Show, AM 990 and KWAM990.com.
CBS News at the top of every hour and the most local talk in the Mid-South. This is AM 990 KWAM Memphis.